Matthew 6, 25 to 34. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what you may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes.
Thank you. I'm going to try and bring this together a little bit. So let me just pray. Dear God, I just pray that you would be in this moment, that you would use this time. May this be your message and your words, not mine. Father, be with us now. In your name, amen. Amen. So I'd like to tell you about how I became to be a bald-headed person. So a couple of months ago, I was at the barber's, and there's that awful moment where they show you the back of your head, and you have to make some kind of suitable, lovely, just what I wanted, before you quickly make an exit. And I'd been realizing for a little while that the hair in a certain patch was not so much there anymore and was starting to kind of go a little bit. I'd corroborated it by the screen. That often let me know. But as I looked in that little mirror that reflects the big mirror, I noticed that it was considerably less than before. On this same visit, as I was being shown the back of my head, the barber said to me, he said something like, and obviously you've seen the grey. The grey? Yes. I'm just telling you so you can start to dye it. Wow. I'm 24. I was 23 at the time. And what dismays me is that in society, it's seemingly socially unacceptable for a 24-year-old to be going grey and to be losing his hair, that I might want to fix it, that I need to be worried about this, and I need to patch this over. I need to somehow make this better. So I decided I would just not give in to the worry, and I would just shave it, and therefore, like, now I don't have to worry about it. I bought some clippers off Amazon, and therefore, once a week, I just shave my head, and it means I don't have to be concerned about whether my bald spot is showing or quite how much grey there is. And worry is an interesting topic because I worry a lot, and I fear things, and I get concerned about things. And in today's passage, we have Jesus in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount saying, "Why do you worry about clothes?" And I wouldn't have interrupted Jesus mid-flow, that would be inappropriate, but I might have pulled him aside later and said, "Jesus, I've got a few things to say to you. Why do you worry about clothes? Well, here's why, Jesus. Because society says this is the ideal body type. And because I do not have a six-pack, apart from with Diet Coke in my fridge, I need to cover that up. So I need to make sure that my clothes don't quite show the lumps and the bumps. Because, Jesus, society says that fat and stretch marks are not attractive and we don't want to see them. So I make sure that my tops are quite long, so when I raise my arm, you're not getting a crop top midriff situation. Because, Jesus, society says that a man being under 6 foot is not attractive, let alone someone who's closer to 5'9". 5'9". So I wear heels with a slight boot so that I have a little bit more stature. Because, Jesus, society says that sweat is not cool. But we all get warm. So that I wear tops that won't show if I do get a bit hot and sweaty and flustered. Black, white, goodbye, light grey. The enemy of sweat patches. Because society says that fashion is really important and our clothes must be in. So I go running so that my legs are skinny enough to pour into very tight black denim fabric. Because society says that a man should dress one way and a woman should dress another way. So although I do push the limits, I do try and make sure that I dress masculine. So that I'm not mistaken for a woman, which has happened on a number of occasions. And it all just goes down to the voice that we are listening to. And it comes back to this issue of value, of which voice we're letting speak to us and tell us, this is who you are, this is your value. And in answer to this, Jesus highlights the flowers, and he goes, look at them! Look, they're not trying to hide their beauty. Children, do you know the book Elmer the Elephant? I'm so glad. I thought I was really old. But in that, Elmer, who's this amazing patchwork elephant, he tries to cover his beauty up, doesn't he? But when it rains, what happens? Yeah.
The stuff comes off and it shows.
Exactly. So when it rains, the berry paint that he's made washes off and his patchwork is once again revealed. And too often we do that. We try and hide just ourselves, the ourselves that God made us, because we want to narrow ourselves into boxes. I had to fill in a form this week that had boxes. I hate boxes and forms. Ethnicity, tick. It's like, relationship status. I don't know why this is important. But if you tick the box that says prefer not to say, you're basically saying single. Like, no married person is going, I'd prefer not to comment on that. Well, you might, but see Chris afterwards if that's the case. Anyway. But just like Elmer, sometimes we try and hide it, but the flowers don't. The flowers are just natural in their beauty. The tulip goes, I am a tulip. And the daffodil's standing proud and is like, I am a daffodil. And the crocus, the little crocus, this is about the limit of my flowers, I am a crocus. I don't want to be a big, tall daffodil. I want to be a tiny, little, dainty crocus. That's flowers, right? Good. But they just stand so tall in their own natural beauty. That's because they know who their heavenly creator is. The heavenly creator that has chosen each and every one of us and knows our names and loves us so much. Does anyone know anyone who knits? Anyone, has anyone ever had anything knitted? Yeah. Anyone knit? Knitting takes time, doesn't it? It's quite difficult, not a natural at it. I once tried. We were at a coffee shop and you could knit a square to go into a big blanket for the Macmillan Cancer Trust. I started, and at the end of our coffee time, my friend Helen went, Stephen, that's not a blessing. I'm going to undo it. And no one wants that. That's not good. But God is amazing at knitting, but it takes time and energy and love. He pours into it. And he doesn't see us like the world sees us. I've got a little idea of how God sees us. Who likes doing art? Now, if you do art, you'll know that there's a very special substance that only comes out on very special occasions. Glitter. If something has glitter on it, it is very, very special. So I have a little idea of how God sees us. Do not do this at home. If I hear of anyone doing this at home, there will be no more glitter ever at St. Mary's. Whoa. Let's not ruin the fun. God sees us, and he's like, close your eyes, children. I don't want this to get in your eyes. And he sprinkles you with glitter because you are so very, very special to him. But it's not just a little bit of glitter. It's like this. Oh, we are quite literally doused, oh gosh, in the eyes again. We are quite literally covered in glitter, covered in his love. That's quite cool, isn't it? Now, children, over there is something very exciting. It involves both glitter and glitter card. Well, I have a bit of time with the adults doing something quite boring. Would you like to go over there? Yes. Sorry, adults. Sorry, adults, that you can't go. Maybe later. Oh, gosh. In the eye. But adults, I'm fine. I'm going to enjoy my glitteriness. We had to put a rug down because under the rug is actually my footprints from the previous service. But as we accept our glittery status as someone so loved by God, we look through glittery eyes and we start to see the world a little bit differently. This week I watched a video which was one of the presidential candidates talking about girls, and they'd done this over images of young girls looking in the mirror. And the things that this candidate was saying were not complimentary. And I thought, but if he... sorry. so sorry. If that person saw the world through glittery eyes, through eyes that have like lenses which are God-focused, God-loved lenses, he wouldn't say those things about the girls. And what if we saw the other people that we come across in our lives as people who are also loved by God? How would that change the way we act? And what if someone pointed out to me in the first service, as I walk, I now just start to spread glitter everywhere I go. And what if that's the way that we did life? That as we went through life, we just spread God's love everywhere we went. Oh, gosh. In my eyes and everywhere. I'm literally seeing through glitter right now. My glasses are caked in it. Right, where was I going? And it all comes back to this point of where we get our value from and where we look to influence us in life. And sometimes we forget the most amazing things that our God does for us because we're trying to strive for things that the world tells us we need. It's also harvest, where, as well as looking at the little flowers, we thank God for the amazing abundance and things he provides for us. A couple of years ago, I was in Uganda at church, and there was a testimony slot in the service. And there was always a testimony slot, but they limited it to just three because the English people were in. They didn't want to bore us with too long a service. I remember nothing from the first two people that spoke, but the third one I remember just really amazing me. She just got up and she just said, "I would just like to thank God today that this week I've had food on my table to feed my family every week. Thank you, God." And just quite calmly sat down. And I remember being like, wow. And as I thought about it, I was thinking, wait, does that mean that in some weeks there is not enough food on her table to feed everyone? And when we think of a testimony slot in a service in the UK, it's like, I was healed from my heroin addiction at the same time my leg grew and all the hair once again grew on my head. But this was just something as simple as God providing. Meanwhile, while I was in an existential crisis, the church erupted with like praise and like, woo! I was like, wow, because that's how that should be seen. Sometimes we get so, we just miss the things that our amazing God is doing in our lives because we just take it for granted. Oh, gosh. Sorry, in my eye, it's fine. So I'd like to finish by praying, if that's all right. Let's go with that. Dear God, thank you for your love, that you have called us each by name. You know our names, and you have covered us in your glittery goodness of love. Help us to see other people the way you see them, to look through our glittery lenses and see them as also your created children. Help us to take your love everywhere that we go and to not miss the ways you are moving in our lives. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. Help us listen to your voice and not to the voice of society. Amen. Amen.